Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father, His Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning I want to come running straight at you. We've started a new ministry year. We've committed ourselves to building new and improved facilities for carrying out ministry. We're joining together in praying for a new senior pastor as early as next year, January, February, perhaps. And let's never forget that we, you and me alike, have been made God's new creations. We are those who have been given faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Put it all together, and it's just like what the book of Revelation promises, where God says, I am making everything new. And aren't you glad that He is? Because the world around us is changing. Did you know that 500,000 people move into the state of Texas every year? That's 1,370 a day, 7 days a week. And that kind of growth changes things. It changes our traffic. It changes our politics. It changes our cultural values. And not only is it changing our state, our city in which we live, this city is changing. Our neighborhoods are changing. Our economy, all sorts of things are changing, including our households. Millennials are taking longer and longer before they tie the marriage knot, if they ever do. Families with young children will tell you how their schedules are changing. And for those who are approaching the end of their careers, retirement's no longer a given. Many, many women are choosing to continue working for as long as they're physically able. So what do those changes have to do with ministry, with you and me carrying out the great commission of going and making disciples of all nations? It was pastor and author John Maxwell who first said this, and I think it deserves to be memorized by every one of us. He said, change is inevitable, but growth is optional. So say that with me. Change is inevitable, but growth is optional. Now, making the case that change is constantly occurring, that's simple, that's easy. But for us to see that personal growth happens through these changes, not to mention even more so kingdom growth, that's where the real challenge is. And that's where we are today. But hasn't it always been the case? I mean, haven't God's people always had to be kind of prompted and urged to welcome new opportunities to be effective in His kingdom? For example, in the Old Testament reading for today, the book of Esther, God's people, the Jews, had been taken out of their homeland and into exile in Persia. So when the king of Persia was looking for a new queen, a beautiful young Jewish girl by the name of Esther was chosen. And yet she had an enemy. The second highest ranking official in Persia had tricked the king into signing a decree, an unchangeable order that encouraged the Persians to kill all the Jews living in the land. God's chosen people, the people from whom the Savior was to come, were under the threat of annihilation. What would they do? What could they do? Well, Queen Esther was urged to ask the king for a favor. This bad thing that had been allowed was her new opportunity. It was her one shot at saving her people, God's people. Only Esther was in a position to make a difference. And so after days of fasting and prayer, she went to the king. She asked that he give permission that all the Jews be allowed to assemble and defend themselves against anyone who intended to harm them. And the king agreed. The day that it was carried out became the Jews' annual festival of Purim. It was their ongoing reminder of God's faithfulness in all circumstances to his people. Esther, acting in faith, is just one example that change is inevitable, but growth is optional. Folks, the enemies of our God will always be throwing things at us. There's no question about it. The only question is, will we use these new opportunities to be effective in building his kingdom? As I was driving around town this week, I saw a sticker on the back window of a car that had two words. The words, Carpe Diem. It came from the ancient Roman poet Horace. And literally, Carpe Diem means pluck the day. But more recently, it's come to be known as seize the day. And wasn't that also the command that the Apostle Paul insisted on to the church at Colossae? Colossians chapter 4, let me reread those Spirit-inspired words. He said, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be seasoned with salt so that you may know how to answer everyone. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. The church at Colossae, their challenge was some false teachers in their midst, specifically men who were saying that the sacrifice that Jesus made was not complete. They were saying other things had to be added and done as well. Other disciplines had to be followed in order to be saved. But if I may quote Colonel Henry Potter from MASH 4077, hogwash. Hogwash. You see, things are still no different for us today. There are still so-called Christians who insist on something in addition to God's grace alone, through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Friends, that is God's good news. That is the new wine that Jesus was talking about. What he has done comforts people when their sins grieve them. What Jesus has done is what soothes our troubled souls, what makes us unafraid of death or of life for that matter. The promise we believe in the gospel that we share is that Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection were everything necessary to make us right with God. Everything. So, what new opportunities are popping up around you? I hope you're not thinking to yourself, well, you know, everybody I know is a Christian, and I don't really know anyone who needs a glass of new wine, a new heart of hope. Let's not even go there, because it's simply not true. In the book that we use in our huddles called Joining Jesus on His Mission, Greg Finke makes this point very clear. He shows how the river has moved. And that's as true culturally as it is geographically. What you're seeing here is the Choluteca River in Honduras. And at the time it was constructed, it was a state-of-the-art river that spanned the Choluteca River. That is, until 1998. And that's when a Category 5 hurricane named Mitch came across the coast and the inland of Honduras. And there it sat, and there it stalled, and there it dumped historic amounts of rain all over the country. In some places, as much as 75 inches. Do the math, that's over 6 feet. And being a mountainous country, when all of that water came rushing down the river and into the Choluteca, all down the mountains and into the Choluteca River, it came with such force that it actually changed the course of the river. And here's the point. The problem isn't that the bridge was built in the wrong place. The problem is that the river has moved. And the same thing is true for the church in North America. For those of us who are over 50, the years we grew up, the church was in a good spot, at least for reaching the needs of a largely churched culture. You would never see the things that you see driving to church this morning. You would never see a baseball or a soccer game on Sunday morning. Never. Each and every day, school, the school I went to at least, was begun with a Christian prayer spoken over the intercom. Homework was even discouraged on Wednesdays because so many churches had activities that night. We could say that the church was spanning the river of the American culture. At that time, the church was fairly effective just by keeping their doors open. That was all that was necessary. But then we were a far more churched culture. Not today. The river has moved. How much so? Well, even here in the Bible Belt, the percentage of churchgoers on any given Sunday is somewhere around 18%. And less than 10% of those under age 30 regularly participate in any kind of church ministry. The river has moved. And isn't it a great new opportunity? Here's the answer. How are you and I, who have been made God's new creations, who have been made God's local missionaries, how are we to grab hold of these new opportunities and be effectively building Christ's kingdom, making disciples? The answer is God's promise. You see, we aren't the ones making everything new. Jesus is. And so the answer is for us to join Jesus on his mission. As a part of my quiet times, I sometimes use or read a book that has morning and evening prayers. And this past week, knowing what this sermon was going to be about, I found myself thinking of the many different people who could be kingdom opportunities. People who could use a glass of Jesus' new wine. People who may not know that about his all-sufficient, ever-gracious love. And as I was prompted to pray through this list of people that I'm going to share with you, I also wondered who they might bring to mind for you. Who has Jesus already put in your life and on your heart, which of these people could you welcome as a new opportunity for sharing the hope that Jesus brings? Ask yourself those questions as I read through this list. For all who lack life's necessities of food, clothing, and shelter. For the sick and dying, those who are physically infirm. For the deaf and the blind. For those who have been wounded, the lame and the handicapped. For those who have become the lepers and outcasts of our generation. For those who are in prison, either unjustly or by reason of their guilt. For the political and social refugees, or those who are oppressed by injustice. For all of the lost and unwanted souls who inhabit our society. For unwed, single, or widowed mothers, battered wives, and fallen women. For the travelers displaced from homes and families who feel lost and alone. For those consumed by anxiety, worry, and fear for whatever reason. For those who live for Jesus faithfully but exist in lonely obscurity. For the soldier who follows the orders of his superiors but fights against his own morals and beliefs, or for unpopular or unjust causes. For all who labor diligently in the Lord's fields and vineyards until the day of the harvest comes and he appears. Here's the point. By the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, we can all make a difference. For as long as we live, wherever God has put us, there are new opportunities for us to be effectively building his kingdom. And so this is my challenge for you. What new thing can you do this week? What new thing can you do in order to share the heart and the message of our Savior? Let's start by praying for new hearts right here in us. Hearts which welcome these opportunities. And for new minds. Minds that grab a hold of God's own power and creativity. So that when it's all over, our life has been helpful in bringing more people to faith in our Savior. After all, it is he, the one who sits on the throne, who promised, "I am making everything new." Amen. And may the peace of God that surpasses understanding keep your hearts and minds in Jesus. Amen.